This morning I tried to preach the same word, but it didn't come out because the church were preaching the word, so we never had a time. So they were just like tonight, but there was morning, there were testimonies and words, and the words was the sermon. So I never got a shot, but tonight I still have a shot. I'm going to speak about community and going on to partnership like I did last week. But I want to... I'm so excited to see what is happening in church. God is really, really good. God is really good that He speaks to us. I want you to never, ever forget that God is good. He speaks to me. He speaks to you. You know, it's like He doesn't need to speak to you. He's God. He spoke already. But God is good and God is faithful. He speaks. The Lord who speaks. So tonight I want to speak about community. And the reason why we constantly speak about community, and tonight we're going to speak about one part of community and partnership. The reason why is because God at the beginning of the year said to us, as a shofar church, he said to Fred, and I heard the same thing, but he said, I'm a father, make this a family. This is not a show, this is not a production, and it's so easy with the great sound and the lighting and the stuff to think it's a show. It's not a show, it's church, it's life, it's family, and we do it like this just because it's our expression. Some families are weird, we are weird in this way. So, we have people like Conrad and Alida and I don't know, Ilza and stuff in church, Jackie. So we have a weird family setup. But it's still a family. It's still a valid family. I'm going to directly just jump into, I'm going to speak about Philippians. So if you can maybe go to this slide. Thank you so much for helping Dondre, Mr. IT. Philippians 1 verse 3 to 5. Paul had a relationship with this church that he had with none other. Paul had a tight relationship. He was emotionally connected to this church in a way that he wasn't to the other churches. In his letter, it's extremely personal. He is extremely personal. He reveals a lot about himself and about his feelings. And the reason is quite simply, and if you go through the book, if you want to find out what was the core thing in any of the letters or any of the books, then just see for what is repeated and what is emphasized above the rest. And the thing that is repeated here is partnership together, partnership together, partnership together. The words, he says we share in the gospel, we partner, we fellowship in the gospel. He says we share in joy, we share in the spirit, we have one spirit. He says we share in suffering, we share in our partnership with the gospel, we share finances, we share everything. In this book, together, having together, sharing together is the key thing for him here. The purpose of the book is not that, but it's something that is constantly repeated. We have this together. There's something that we have together. And he starts here thinking, I thank God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making mention of you with prayer, with joy. And he says, because of your partnership in the gospel. And like we said last week, speaking about the fishermen, it isn't the partnership in Christ that he speaks of here. It isn't a partnership in the Spirit. It isn't even a partnership in just in life that we share. Although that is the foundation of the relationship, but he says, we partner in the gospel, for the gospel. We have actually joined hands, we've actually joined companies, we've actually purposed ourselves to do one thing, and that is to share. We share in the gospel, we are partakers of the gospel, as he continues in the next part, saying that God will perfect which he started. But the whole point he's saying, he says, we've joined hands, we've jumped into the boat for one purpose, and that is for the gospel's sake. We share in this. And I know that many of you already in your cell groups and this week you spoke about this. That God says we partner in the gospel. We have agreed. We've come together for one purpose, to make the gospel known. To see the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel, the good news of God. To see it proclaimed and have an effect in people's lives. And for Paul that was the fundamental reason why he loved this church more than anything. And I want to quickly run through, how does it happen? So first of all, just looking at this slide, I'm going to be very practical tonight. If I were to look at this slide, and we have done this, my result will be, God, I thank you for the people you have in my life, my small group, and we gave some examples of how we do this. God, we're coming together. May our coming together not exist solely about me and about me being completed in Christ, but God, may it be for partnering for the sake of the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, he says that he who died once for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died. And that's the partnership of the gospel. We live because of Christ. We live because of Christ, therefore we will live for Christ's sake, for the gospel's sake. And that's what he does, and that's a practical play out of that one thing. The next one is classic if you think about the fact that he writes this from prison. Being bound in a Roman prison, it wasn't nice. It wasn't like, it's not like our prisons that we have DSTV and voting rights and stuff like that. It was quite a different thing. So he speaks about that. And it's funny that this specific gospel, more than anyone else, he speaks about joy constantly, happiness and joy and rejoice in the Lord. I say rejoice, and the picture is Paul narrating the gospel, the epistle. He's reading it to someone else. He's speaking it because he can't write. He's bound in a prison between two gods, a Roman prison. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And you're like, dude, what's wrong with you? Are you smoking something? He says, no, I just rejoice in the gospel. So the next one, I just have six of these, and I really want to deliver the word. He says, secondly, there's a unity in prayer, and I'm not going to read that, but the two scriptures, there are two of many scriptures which we can choose from the gospel, that he says, I pray for you, and I always pray, and I constantly pray for you. And every time I pray for you, this is what I pray. And he does it in two specific instances and parts. Other places he implies it. But then he says, I know that I will be delivered from prison one day, and I'll come to see you again because of your prayers that is constantly rising up for me. So in this partnership, we see them constantly praying for one another. That means they have meetings with God on for the sake of the other party, not for their own sake. And a partnership, and this is what I invite you into, having a partnership with the gospel means the same thing. Every time I say the words, means the same thing. Celine, you dream the same dream, you want the same thing. It's a part of the musical. Anyway, the last few days, when we speak about partnership, I'm like, we dream the same dream, we want the same thing. Yeah, yeah. Okay, anyway, so praying together for your sake, having meetings with God that is nothing about me, but everything about your benefit. And Paul says, I do that for you constantly. And Paul writes the letter not just for himself. He says, there are a few other people with me, but one is Paul and Timothy, the two of us. And he says, I'm going to send Timothy to you as part of my partnership. I'm going to send my best friend to you to bless you. But he says, we pray every time for you. And then he says, I know that you pray for me always. And I pray for you, and you pray for me, and I pray for you. And constantly he says there is results that we know because of the prayers. Yaku and myself and Yvonne and the guys in the office know, and the elders as I'm ministering up here in front, they, Yaku and Clint and the guys, Helmut, we for the, this is most probably, just to let you in into something, one of the most heaviest pastoral times, periods in my life ever. I've only been in the ministry now for 8.5 years, but this is most probably the most heavy time for me. So sometimes some of you say that you're praying for me. Honestly, thank God that you're praying for me. You don't know why. I know why you're praying for me. Because I'm really worried about a few people. I'm really quite a number of people that really go through extreme difficulties. Not just stamp out doing of the car verloor of sick stuff. It's like big, big, big stuff. And I think the reason why, bluntly saying, I'm having family talk here tonight. The reason why is because we as a church are not praying like we should. So you can fill in your own name. If you are really praying for the church, then praise God. If you're really praying for your cell group, then praise God. But for the rest of us, I know the reason why there's real pastoral needs is because in the last 6 months, our prayer meetings have gone down to very low levels because everyone's busy. And I'm like, I want you to know how busy are you going to feel if it's your marriage that goes under, or if it's your business that goes under, or if it's your kids that's for the fourth time this year in the hospital, or if it's your husband that is an alcoholic that can't get out of it, or addicted to pornography that can't get out of it. And it's not a weight thing. I just want to say this is the reason why, is because we're not praying like we should. And I want to encourage you to really, when the Lord, I'm not saying you must come to prayer meetings. What I'm saying is you must pray. That's one thing that we as Christians, and the sad thing is that when in the past we as a church have been known for that, for the fact that we are a praying church. I want to say that we're running on steam that we built up in the past, that sometime the steam is going to run out. Just I'm prophetically speaking. I'm not going to say there's doom. I'm just going to say we are running on steam from the past, not on steam from now. So as elders, we come together on some late nights and stuff, really praying for people. But the point is, it's not supposed to be the elders that pray for everyone by name in church. The church prays for the church. We family. So I really want to encourage you, even if you have to do it in your small group meetings, pray. Not just, God bless Piti. God bless Michael. It's a good prayer. Build on from that. What do you mean bless? Why do you want him to be blessed? Pray in the spirit. Okay, so their partnership has got this prayer thing, and the ladies are going to talk about babies and having babies now a lot, just prophetically picture speaking. Yes, we're having babies as well. The Lord is adding to the church daily. Those are being born at this time, but we're also praying for the rest. Okay, so their partnership was one of intentional partnership. That means they deliberately partnered for the gospel's sake. That was their purpose of coming together. That was the purpose of their communion and their fellowship, was we partner for the gospel. The second one is their means of partnership was firstly in prayer. Before everything else, they prayed together. The third one, that in Philippians, I'm just rushing through the book. Do you also hear sounds? Okay, just want to check. I see birds everywhere. The birds and the bees. Philippians, they had a unity in power. And this we see constantly through the book. He says, only let your manner funk. Is it better, Yaku? Okay, less birds here. He says, only let your manner be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he speaks about Christian unity. A unity. And like we said last week, it's a complete different thing from us going on a pleasure cruise together and one of two guys are doing the rowing in the boat, or the steam engine's doing the rowing in the boat, and the rest of us are doing nothing, versus we come together and we are fishermen on a cruise, or battle people battling together in a bath. Like a battleship. There's a complete different thing. I'd say in the first instance, the pleasure cruise thing, you might not have lots of conflict. Why? Because we're all just here for girls just want to have fun. We're going to have party on the deck. It's going to be chill. And the second one, when we work together, there's likely to be more conflict. It's funny that in this letter as well, Paul is writing chapter 4. He says, please guys, there are two ladies in ministry. Please help them because they're fighting, just going to stop. Help them sort out. He speaks about Yodia and Cynthia. Chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And he says, these ladies, please help them come to a point of agreement because they are my co-laborers in Christ, he calls them. I want to say, working with someone does add to some stress in the relationship. So for that purpose, I want to say beforehand, when you come together for the sake of working together for the gospel, please expect there will be a bit of conflict. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4. It's one of those scriptures which you like. I'm going to say it once and you'll never forget it. He says, when there's no ox, the stall is clean. Do you know the prophetic picture of that? He says, anyway. There isn't much poo. It's a clean stall. It's a clean stall. He says, but with the ox comes great power, some translation. With the ox comes great profit, some translation. With the ox comes great harvest. Proverbs 14:4. This is what I want to say, and this is what Paul is saying here. Guys, because we are working together, because there's some different dynamic than just having a party and let's just sing together for Jesus, because we partner for the gospel's sake, because of that, there's great power. But because there's great power, I want to say there will be stuff that surface in our relationships that must be dealt with. Paul's saying, and then he appeases him, walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, maintain the unity in the Spirit. And then he mentions something else in verse 2, which I must just highlight, chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. He says, also, when you do that, you maintain the unity in the Spirit, also, let no one see himself more significant than anyone else. Walk in humility. He says, come to the point where you value another person's contribution as more important than yourself in this partnership. that's the way we have this partnership in the gospel. See the other one's contribution more important than yourself. Don't think it's less significant because it's less vocal or less musical or less whatever. Value the other person's contribution because that's the way we maintain the unity in the Spirit. Third one, maintain the unity in the Spirit. Working relationships, not just hanging together. I want to show you a picture which I showed you last week just because it does show that picture for me. Working together will have conflict. If only one guy built the railway, it would take hundreds of years longer. But now that we have more people, there's a possibility of misunderstanding and lots of chaos and twisting rail trains and stuff. But he says, work out this. Let there be peace. Maintain the unity and the peace because working together adds power, but it adds lots of poo in the stall. Sort out the poo. Clean the stall. In my life, just want to mention this, guys, the last few weeks, I had to do this. I had to go to a few people and really sort out the really difficult stuff in my heart because I thought it's easy. And this is just a testimony. I thought it's easy to, just forget about it and serious disagreement. We'll just work together. I'll just obey and do whatever is necessary and I'll keep quiet. I'll be friendly and move on. But because of the misunderstandings and stuff, you close down your heart. Do you know what I mean? The girls will understand. The men, you might not all understand, but there's something. You close down your heart and you have a relationship. Some people continue in marriage that way. That's really sad. They were fighting and the fighting stops and eventually they just close down their heart and they'll continue. They'll be a little hoflik. We'll be diplomatic and very nice and courteous and everything, but we continue with life. But I want to say, I had two friends coming to me prophetically saying, Ross, there's something in your life and you must sort it out. God says, fight for the relationship. And I'm like, it's such a slip. I tried to have a conversation in the past. It didn't work out. And the Lord said in two occasions, fight for the relationship. Let the heart, because that's the only way we have covenant relationship. Christian partnership is a unity in spirit, a unity in heart. That's where the power of the Spirit lies. Not merely in having conversation and working together diplomatically. I don't want to share too much detail because it's really personal. Do you understand what I'm saying? The girls will understand. The guys, just know when there's disagreement, let your heart sort it out, this stuff. Number four, so unity and power with the participation of Spirit, Paul says. And then Paul says, we also partake in suffering. This is one of the words that he speaks about a lot. Enduring together for this sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may share in his suffering. And this is one of three places where actually in chapter 2, verse 18, he speaks about sharing in joy after suffering. In chapter 1, verse 29, he speaks about partaking in his suffering as well, where he says, it has been like I suffer in the gospel, you also partner with me. I want to just say this, that when we deliberately partner for the gospel, when you are shameless in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, I just want you to know that. In our society, everyone is happy to be Christian, but when you start preaching Christ, you might not be popular for long. I want you just to realize that. I'm not going to speak too much about this, but Paul says this is where we suffer for the gospel's sake. Suffer persecution, suffer not getting the raise, suffer eventually being excluded from friendships, suffer all those things. When you proclaim Christ, and when I say proclaim Christ, I'm not saying proclaim people's sin, because in the past that's what evangelists did. They tell you, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're bad, stop your sins, mark your smoking. I'm like, why on earth must you stop smoking? You're going to hell. Smoke. Listen, bro, let me tell you about the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus saved. You have a need to be reconciled to God. Smoking is a small thing. You need to be reconciled to God. You are separate from him. Proclaim the gospel. Proclaim the good news that Jesus died for your sake to reconcile you to God. Not proclaim sin. But when you do that, you're going to have to partake in suffering together and being rejected together. Partaking in suffering. I'm going to move on. I want to speak about this next one specifically. Laboring together. Paul says, yes, I also ask you, true companion, how he's speaking about the elder in the church, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and with the rest of my fellow workers, co-laborers, some translation, whose names are on the book of life. Literally doing work together. And this is where I know that you are doing this in your small groups. In your small groups. I know, for instance, that Michael Sell and Edmund Sell, the guys are going again to Delft on next Saturday and just have an outdoor worship and an outreach. I want to really commend this, and this is what I want to get to. That guys, the Lord is calling us to actively partake for the gospel's sake. It is no longer fine to just sit and let some people do the work and the rest not do the work. The Lord is inviting you to partake with Him, to labor with Him in the gospel, to literally take hands and go and do good works. Acts chapter 10 verse 38 speaks about how Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then He says, He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. And that's the same anointing that Michael said we have. Going about doing good, healing all, because God is with Him, proclaiming the good news of Christ everywhere we go. And deliberately partnering together, planning to have outreach together in your small group. Planning, simple things. I'm so blessed with Novella and Daniel Sell and Kelsrafir and Lusani leading them to do some stuff with the Mercy Project there. I'm really blessed about so many things happening. For the rest of us in small groups, I want to really encourage you, make deliberate plans to partner together for the gospel's sake. Deliberately plan. Have events that you actually proclaim the gospel. If you, for those of you struggling out, just the Let's Go stuff, the Delve stuff, Mess, Hospital Ministry, Clip Yevil, Orphanage, Old Age Homes, another small thing that maybe some small group can do is just to help Yaku with the sound stuff. Owens, every Sunday, he's doing everything alone. And if someone can just partner with him, some small group, and say, listen, we'll do one Sunday a month. Just Yaku can have a break one Sunday a month. We'll do the sound for you on that one Sunday. That is a deliberate partnering for the gospel's sake. Something small, something insignificant, it's going to mean that Yaku can have a life one Sunday a month. Imagine that. Yaku, you'll have lots of life in heaven. And then the last one, partnering for the gospel, laboring together, fellow workers, is just to carry one another's burden. But in this case, he actually means financial. He says, no other church except you. And this is why Paul loved this church. He says, no one actually thought about helping me, because Paul was making a living by selling tents to the Roman army. That's why I went from town to town. Wherever the Roman army was taking charge of a city, Paul went from town to town to every single town, and he made tents for the Roman army. It's like a Kayway thing, but the Roman army Kayway tents. Paul, St. Paul's tents. And he was selling them to them. And Paul said, you know, guys, thank you so much, because every time you sent it to me, I could actually focus on the gospel, and I didn't have to make money for myself. You helped me so much in financing it. And he says, this is what we will do. And I want to encourage you, just, we say this a lot. Thank you so much for those of you who faithfully tithe and actually give a percentage of your money to the church. We are really able. We are supporting Springbok Church. They're fully under us now, and we're helping them constantly. We can have lots of outreaches there. But small things, when the guys in Pretoria last year couldn't make, just because of lots of stuff happening, the recession hit Pretoria bad, the congregation, Johannesburg as well, we were able to bail them out so many times. All the Cape Town churches, we did it for a long time. The guys in George as well, and the guys in East London. God is really good to us. We are really your money that you put into the church. It causes the gospel to be preached not only here, but in other places. And I just want to thank you. God is really, really faithful. The Lord said to us a long time ago, He says, you will have an abundance for every good work, which is from Philippians chapter 4. And God is really good. Whatever we put our hand to, there's always finances for. It doesn't mean we roll in the money. We're able to help people that can't provide for themselves. I just want to thank you for that. But Paul is inviting us in the church, and he's inviting you to also partner in this way, financially. To partner, on a constant basis, with the work of the gospel. For those of you who really just actually feel the Lord stirring your heart now, we're going to China. We're sending a few people to China. But I want the church to send people to China, not just people to pay for themselves. So if you have it in your heart, you can just maybe get the mission account details from the church. We're going to really send these guys. Also with Delft, we're going to have to organize taxi services. Do you know that we're busy planting a church in Delft? Okay. Yeah. Michael and Edmund and the cell and Boniface and the guys. They're busy with that. And it's logic. That church, not most probably in the first 5 years, be able to support many other projects. But we'll be able to do it because God is good to us, just because of the pure economics of life. So I want to just thank you. If you have in your heart to start investing in that direction, just talk to us. We can make that money work really for the gospel's sake in that area as well. Yeah. So in the six areas with partnership, the first one is, Paul says, you have an intentional partnership for the gospel. You're living, he says, we have a partnership in the gospel. It's not accidental. We don't share the gospel accidentally. He says, the reason why we come together is to proclaim the gospel. The second one, vertaling, dank je. There's unity in Gebet. Gebet is a small place. It's close to the Gaza Strook. Unity in prayer, Gebet. He says there's unity in prayer. We pray together, and I want to strongly urge you. We'll speak about this a lot still, but in your small groups, make sure you pray for one another. Not just for one another's safety and well-being, but also for grace that we may proclaim the gospel wherever we go. And then there's a unity in power that Paul says. With the ox, we must maintain the unity. There will be issues when you start working together, but maintain the unity in the spirit. Don't start living apart from one another. He says we have to endure suffering together, and we have to work together, literally not just plan stuff, but do stuff together for the gospel's sake. And the last one, also carry one another's burden in the gospel, speaking financially. Very simple word. The purpose of the word is, the Lord is doing this in us. Let me just show a full picture of what partnership in the gospel looks like, biblically. This is a picture, and this is where we're working towards. And I'm just going to pray in closing, and then hand over to Nastasha and Amy. And who do I give the mic to? Nastasha. I'll give the mic to Nastasha. Father, we thank you, God, for that you are inviting us into partnership, God. God, and we have already agreed in this way, God. But tonight, we just say, Lord, that we as a church, God, exist to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we move, God. That's why we've brought. You've made us custodians of your gospel. You've made us caretakers of your gospel. You've made us, Lord, a city on a hill. God, and we pray in Jesus' name. We thank you for where you're moving us, God. We thank you for a moving of your spirit and a stirring of your spirit. We thank you for mobilizing. We thank you even the picture that we saw tonight, God, that Jesus, you are blowing, the commander of the host of heaven, is blowing the trumpet, sending his troops out, God. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. We pray, God, for unity that will hold in peace, in unity, God, apart from a working relationship. We pray for grace, God, that we may have grace to suffer together and have joy together for your sake. And God, we pray in Jesus' name for a unity, God, that also share in material things for your sake. In Jesus' name. Amen.